Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled, The Teachings of Jesus. Thank you to Glynis, Dave, and Don for being part of the video. The scripture reading is Matthew 12, 18 to 21. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope.
Good morning, everyone. We all braved the snow. What a surprise to wake up this morning and see all that. It's like, oh, I thought we were done with that. But, oh well, we have many things to be grateful for, not the least of which is that we're not in Ukraine or Hungary or Poland or any of the places that have either accepted refugees or where people are still ongoing in the fight, the Russians. So we're certainly grateful that it's snowing and we're comfy here. So it really is good to see everybody this morning. Let's join together in a word of prayer. God, thank you so much for all the blessings that you give us. God, thank you for, even for snowy weather, certainly, and thank you for taking such good care of us and giving us warm homes and a safe and free country to live in. God, this morning we ask your special blessing on those who are sick, whether it be with an illness or whether it be with a downcast spirit. God, we ask your blessing for all of them. We certainly ask your blessing for those in Russia and those in Ukraine. We know that although the battles are very different in both countries, that they continue. And we ask for you to do something, I don't know, wild and crazy to change the situation, God, to cause peace in Ukraine. God, we're thankful for those that we know of that have been able to escape, and we pray for their comfort, we pray for their lodging, we pray for that they have enough to eat. God, we're humbled, God, to think of what it must be like. God, we also ask your blessing on those people that are not joining us this morning. We pray that so many of them are special to our hearts, and we're grateful for their love. We're grateful for their being, for them being a part of our body. God, we are blessed indeed. God, we also ask your blessing on this service this morning. We pray that everything that we do and say and think and pray, God, will be acceptable to you and make your heart glad. God, we're so grateful for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, there's something about the changing of the seasons that's a little unpredictable right now. Just last week, we were noticing the sprouting flowers and the grass is getting greener, and some of the birds are making their way back into our area that we haven't had here during the winter. And so it brought up this little scripture to me. Been thinking about it's spring, at least it was until this morning. We've begun to see these signs of the changing of the seasons. Our physical observations are visual and auditory. We hear the birds more now than before. They all remind us. They remind us of some of the words of Jesus. Matthew 6. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So we're watching, we're hearing, we're witnessing the grace of God at work. These little things, birds, animals, they don't worry about these things because it's all God's provision. The ordinary events we often fail to notice and realize, these are not just random or accidental. That food is available to these who don't worry. God is at work. They are gifts of God, the provisions of God. And again, this little bit of scripture keeps ringing in my head because of this event that we're about to partake. And John, the Gospel, first chapter, verse 14, and going through three verses. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me surpasses me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given to him through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." How many provisions has God given us? Sometimes we rush past life and don't notice these. We need to take some time to appreciate the gifts that God has given us. Each one of us have received different gifts. We're not all the same. There are different things that confront us in life. You experience things that I don't. I experience things that you don't. The gift of God, the provisions of God are in each of us. Appreciating these gifts, the gifts of his grace, now, here at the table. A table is a remembrance that we can participate in the love of God to us through his only Son, Jesus the Christ. Heavenly Father, we ask that you make us more aware of your grace in our lives. Make us able to receive and recognize the life of Jesus in those around us. Help us as we take these emblems, the bread, the body, the blood, the fruit of the vine, to remember Jesus as being the fullness of your grace and truth. It's in him that we pray. Amen. Thank you.
morning to all. Glad that you're with us today. I just want to share a brief message today talking about the teachings of Jesus. And I know that sounds like an oxymoron. How can you give a brief message about the teachings of Jesus? It's overwhelming. But I just want to share some brief comments that I hope would be helpful. We all, each one of us, we all have a natural inclination towards something, a natural affinity towards something. And if that's confusing, I'll use my family as an example. An older brother, his natural gift all of his life, even before I think he was in high school, was sales. And to this day, he's a great salesperson and travels and does a lot of selling. His inclination is to be with people, and what he sells, he hopes that would benefit them, and that's just his way. I have another brother who has a natural inclination to fix anything, build anything. He'd just take an engine, he'll take it apart, just to take it apart. Put it together, it'll run better than before. Just an amazing man. I have a sister who's different. She carries a load of weight because she helps so much people who live with Alzheimer's. She's given herself to the Alzheimer's Society for years and years and years, helping people who live with that horrible disease. I have another sister who is a nurse, helping people even to this day. As for me, I have none of that. But as for me, I have always enjoyed Scripture. For some reason, I think God just gave this gift to me to enjoy it. I remember even as a young boy going to different churches, and I was excited about going, whereas my other siblings was trying everything not to go. But I always learned from it. I always enjoyed it. I'm not better than anyone else. But it was just my natural inclination. However, what bothered me was I could never memorize Scripture. And that bothered me. I just couldn't remember Scriptures. And then I went off to a Bible college, and a man who was a wonderful teacher, and I explained to him, I said, I'm here, and I'm going to enjoy it, but I really struggle memorizing. And so he was very nice about it, and he shared some thoughts with me and so forth. And he said, now, I'm an American. I've lived in the Deep South, and I'm teaching here in Ohio. I've always been interested in hockey. Can you tell me a little bit about hockey? And can you tell me who your favorite team was? And so I started to tell him. And I started to tell him who my favorite goalie was and what his number was and how many shutouts he had made throughout that year. And my various players, I would name them, what team they were on, if he shot right-handed or left-handed, how many all-star teams he were on, how many goals he scored. And a smile came across his face and said, you can memorize. You remember what you love. You remember what you love. And from that day forward, Scripture has just overwhelmed me because I love it. I sometimes picture God, just when I read the Scripture, God speaking to me, to all of us, of course, but it becomes personal to me. This Bible that was incredibly written by men and women through thousands and thousands of years, it's as relevant today as the day it was written. And Scripture is powerful, and yet it releases us with the extremeness of Scripture in here's how God wants us to live. Here's who God is. So what I want to do today, pardon my voice, is just spend a little bit of time talking about some of the teachings of Jesus from the Gospels. This will be a brief message, and I hope that it will be helpful to you. He Jesus obviously was the master teacher. And so from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all pretty much say the same thing, but they often say it in different ways. So in the book of Matthew, Jesus welcomed everyone to God's kingdom. Love people. He told countless stories, parables that he wanted people to know about God. Sometimes we preachers are criticized for telling too many stories. Never say that about Jesus. He taught by using stories, parables. People will often remember the stories more than the scriptures. And then all of a sudden, the stories and the scriptures become one. He was a master teacher. I can just picture in my mind when Jesus is telling a parable and telling a story to a group of people, and those individuals go back home and say, "You'll never guess what this guy told me today." And it's remarkable. And all throughout the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's the teachings of Jesus. But there are people involved with that. It's how does it strike them? What should we do about this? And the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were against him had to sometimes say, "He is remarkable in his teaching. He is remarkable in his teaching. But surely he can't be God." And yet, of course, that's exactly who he is. He was the master teacher. So for Matthew chapter 9, 35 and 36, it says this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Religion was strong when Jesus was in the world, but Jesus didn't teach the kind of teaching that the Sadducees and Pharisees demanded. Teachings of Jesus were strict, but freeing. And so people felt helpless until Jesus came and he started to teach. And you all remember this wonderful statement made by Jesus: "Come to me, all of you." That's as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened." How many listening to this message today say, "Oh yeah, I know what it is to be worried. I know what it is to be burdened. And I know what it is to be weary." See, he says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke," which means this, "take my teaching upon you. Learn from me. I am gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That's not just then. It's true today. That when we read scripture, we're not reading something only from the past, but it's Jesus talking to us this very day. How many of us believe that when we pray, Jesus hears us? He does. And Jesus speaks to us. It's amazing how many times when you're preparing sermons or just praying that there's this relationship that you have with this wonderful Savior. Am I talking to God? Or am I talking to Jesus? Or am I talking to the Holy Spirit? The answer is yes. And is it God who hears me? Is it Jesus who hears me? Is it the Holy Spirit who hears me? The answer is yes. Yes, 24/7. God knew us before we were born. He knows us now. And he'll always know us. So as a reminder of that, Jesus says, "So come to me. If you're weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It's like a fussy baby that just can't be settled. And then mom or dad comes and just holds them. And all of a sudden, you can feel the baby go, it's gone. And this is the teachings of Jesus. People were harassed religiously, still are today. Jesus comes to give us this peace that rests upon us. And so from the Gospel of Mark, and you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all teach similar, but oftentimes it's different stories. For example, from the Gospel of Mark, I love this, in Mark chapter 10, it says, crowds of people came to Jesus. As was his custom, he taught them. I forgot about that scripture. Jesus taught so often that it was just his custom. Whenever someone came to Jesus, he taught them. That's what the gospel says. Do you remember the Sunday school song that we used to sing? Jesus loved the little children. How many of us remember that song? Well, here's this scripture. Mark chapter 10, 13 to 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have Jesus touch them. But his disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He was completely ticked off. And he said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Listen to this. For the kingdom of God belongs to them. Children get it. They get this connection. They get this love. Then Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God is like a little child who will never enter it. And Jesus took the children in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. No child would ever forget that experience for the rest of their lives. And then Jesus had a passion for the places of prayer. In Mark 11, 15 to 17, it says, on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and he began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and of the benches, those selling doves, and who would not allow anyone to carry them, and said, is it not written from Isaiah, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. I may have told you this story before, but one of the experiences that Barb and I had on several occasions of being in Germany, we were in this magnificent cathedral. I can't quite remember the name of it now. It'll come back to me, I'm sure, sooner than later. But there was this magnificent, magnificent cathedral built hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And people would walk through this cathedral, we certainly did, and we would look at various altars, and the sculpting is just incredible. And there was just something about the aura of being in this beautiful sanctuary that just sort of brought peace to it. And I kind of stood back because I was overwhelmed and just was thanking God for being allowed to be part of this place, just being part of it, and thinking about thousands of years ago, a worker would be building this little section, and that little section might take years and years and years before it was ever completed. And the whole cathedral was like that. It was overwhelming. You know, man, that's fantastic. That's amazing. Now, quietly, I noticed an older man, very older man. He walked kind of a hunchback. And even all the people around, nobody really noticed him, but he just caught my attention. And he walked through the middle of the sanctuary. And it was difficult for him. And when he got to the altar, he went down on his knees and he prayed. He prayed. And then he had a hard time to get back up, but he got back up and he walked out of the sanctuary. and it hit me. He's got a relationship that it didn't matter to him what other people would think. He wasn't showing off. He had this incredible need to be touched by God, or maybe another way of putting it, to touch God. And it was this place that was significant to him. The teachings of Jesus are overwhelming. It changes our life. And when situations in life occur, we can remember some of those teachings of Jesus and how important it is. Never let your faith be cooled. Always allow it to grow deeper and warmer and stronger. The teachings of Jesus, even though they were written 2,000 years ago, are as relevant today as ever before in teaching us to pray. Ruth Bell Graham said, "Pray when you feel like it, for it's a sin to neglect such an opportunity." And then she says, "And pray when you don't feel like it, for it's dangerous to remain in such a condition." I'm sorry, God, that I haven't spent more time with you this week. And that's important. God knows, but it's important for us to know the significance that the teachings of Jesus, thousands of years in the past, are relevant today. So from the Gospel of Luke, I love Luke's Gospel. The theme of the Gospel of Luke is everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome into the kingdom of God, even the enemies, but you are welcome. Luke's Gospel repeats it over and over and over again, where people come together, enjoy food together, enjoy worship together, Jew and Gentile together alike. And of course, that was causing problems for the Pharisees. But Luke comes along and Jesus says this, Luke 6, beginning in 27. "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you." And that's tough. "And pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. And if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be paid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked." Someone says, that just doesn't make sense. I know. On the worldly standards, that may not make sense. But Jesus comes along and says, here's what I want you to do. Saul was anti-Christ until he becomes Paul. And he's so pro-Christ that he writes most of the New Testament. He remembers the statement that Jesus made. I believe it with all my heart that he remembers the statement Jesus made. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And then the teachings of Jesus from the book of John. John teaches us that Jesus is the Word of God. And John teaches us that Jesus is the exact representation of God. And some of the most beautiful words ever written are the first 14 verses of the introduction in John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, Jesus, and the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word was God. So you have to picture In the beginning was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, when did the beginning begin? It's always begun. Excuse me? It's one of the mysteries that one of the questions I think most people ask God when they first see God is, explain that to me. Because for God, there is no time. There is no time. But he knew us even before he created Adam and Eve. That blows my mind. He knew us before he even created the earth. He knew the exact time and places in which we would live. He knew where we were going to live. Barb and I didn't. We moved to different places. He said, I could have told you that a long time ago. It's God's purpose of saying, I'm with you always. Look back at our own lives. And remember, even when you may have said, God, where are you? He whispers, never left you for a moment. I've never left you for a moment. I am with you always. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and he is God from the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing has been made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent by God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning to that light, so that through him all might believe. John himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives life to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. To me, that's amazing. So when Jesus was teaching, he was teaching them all kinds of things. They didn't really get all of that, but they didn't realize we're talking to the person who created life for everyone. He created Adam and Eve. How is that even possible? He came to that which was his own. Now, catch this, his own family. But his own did not receive him. You remember from reading the scriptures how Jesus' family turned on him? They thought he was out of his mind. And yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to be called children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And I'd like to suggest that we can do the same. The Word became flesh, Jesus. He made his dwelling among us. And isn't his dwelling still among us? The Word of God lives in our heart, full of grace and full of truth. Jesus was teaching even before he was born. Some 400 years before he was born, Isaiah talked about him. He said, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch. And the word branch is a messianic word. That whenever you hear that word branch specifically in the Bible, it's referring to the Messiah. And that branch, the Messiah, will bear fruit. Here we are. We're fruit. We're part of that teachings of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord rests on him. And the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes. He will not judge by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness. He will judge the needy with justice. He will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness is the sash around his waist. Then he gives us this remarkable comment. One day, the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. One day, there will be no more enmity between anyone or anything. Walk up to a lion and hug him. Or watch the lion come and sit beside you and nuzzle into you. It says the cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw with the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. The young child would put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain. For the earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. One day, the new heaven, the new earth, joined together as one, living throughout eternity in a powerful, powerful way. In that day, the root of Jesse, Jesus, will stand as a banner for all the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place will be glorious. So Isaiah says these words, powerful words, and I wish we could memorize these because it's part of our future. Behold, I will create new heaven and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they even come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight. In my people, the sound of weeping and the sound of crying will be heard no more. Welcoming Jesus into our life. Jesus is the King of Glory. And so this scripture, Psalm 24, who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he? Who is this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. Just some of the teachings of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I suppose if we had multiple lifetimes, we would never get to the point where we got it all. But he teaches us, don't you worry. One day all things will be revealed. One thing is the glory of God will overwhelm us. Teachings of Jesus. Incredible. Amen.
Well, thank you so much, Don. Sometimes I forget that we are part of a movement that changes eternity. It changes eternity for us and for the whole world, which is amazing. Before we say our closing prayer, I just want to say to the Lee family that certainly our hearts and our prayers go out with the passing of Ernie's mom. And so we're, I think all of us have faced that. Been around at the crowd. Most of us have faced that. And so truly our hearts go out to you. We feel the heartbreak. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dearest Lord God, we do sometimes forget that we're part of a movement that changes eternity, that that you offer salvation to the brokenhearted. And God, our world is full of the brokenhearted. And God, I'm grateful, both grateful and beg you for help that we get to change the lives of those around us. Help us to remember that. Sometimes it's super easy to get distracted by our everyday lives. Give us that sense that we are dealing with your children, whether they're grown-ups or aged or teenagers or little children, that we're dealing with your children, and we have the opportunity to bring your glorious light into their lives. And that will largely be by our examples. So help us to be the examples that we need to be. God, we love you. We are so grateful for your care. We're so grateful that from the very beginnings of time, God, you've been there, as Dawn reminded us today. Even before there was time, you were there, God, and loving us and caring for us and giving us a place with you. God, we're so grateful. Thank you so much. Help us to go out and to be the light and the love that this world needs. God, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.